I do dog walking on the side, and one day I got this new dog. First day out walking, it lunged at my face, practically tore off my nose. After it was all over with the pain, I couldn't look in the mirror. I decided to call the advocates. They walked me through every step, and I never saw a single bill. Got me a settlement that covered everything.
I'm Matt with the Advocates Injury Lawyers. With us, you can focus on healing from a dog bite, and we'll handle everything else.
I do dog walking on the side, and one day I got this new client, a new dog. First day out walking it, it just lunged at my face and just practically tore off my nose. After it was all over was the pain. And something like that stays with you. I couldn't look in the mirror. Just, I didn't want to know what I looked like afterwards. With the emotional and physical trauma, there's also the money. Where am I going to get this money to recover and look like myself again? I didn't know who to contact. I ended up talking to my dad, and he told me to talk to the advocates. They walked me through every step, and I never saw a single bill. Lots of plastic surgeries, lot of tears, but the advocates got me a settlement that covered everything, and then some. I am so glad I made that call.
I'm Matt with the Advocates Injury Lawyers. With us, you can focus on healing from a dog bite, and we'll handle everything else.
You're listening to Finance for Beginners. This is the podcast that demystifies how Wall Street investment works, including all of that confusing jargon and what it all means to you. It's explained to you by veteran investor and broker, John Lemmerman. Hey, John. How you doing?
I'm doing great, Roger. How are you?
Good. So I've got a couple of questions real quick. Like, we've been talking about, in the last episode, we were talking about stocks and bonds. And we were talking about the markets. So my question for you today is, can we talk about funds? There are mutual funds. Can you explain what a mutual fund is, for starters?
Yeah, a mutual fund is, or was, typically a fund that was run by a manager that would put together a portfolio of stocks based on a certain objective.
Okay, can you elaborate on that a little bit?
It might be an objective of the best stocks within a certain market capitalization. For instance, small cap stocks, mid cap stocks, large cap stocks. It could be a growth portfolio. It could be a value portfolio. It could be a dividend portfolio. Criteria such as that.
Okay, so let's come back to the three types of portfolios, for example. What was the first one?
I think I said a small cap portfolio.
Okay, so, what does that mean?
So capitalization is the amount of shares that a company has times the value of the stock, and that gives you the capitalization, the value of the company. And so anything under $2 billion is considered a small cap stock. I think anything under $200 million is considered a micro-cap stock.
Wow, I think I'm a knit-cap stock. Okay, so that's what that is. So a mutual fund then is, in theory, buying up a bunch of stocks within that framework with the goal of producing what, dividends or producing monetary growth in some way?
Yeah, it could be dividends. It could be capital growth. It could be defensive stocks, which tend to not fall as much when a market turns down. And if you work with an advisor, then an advisor will like construct a portfolio like pieces of a puzzle. And the puzzle will be based on the client. What does the client want? What kind of risk tolerance does the client have? What kind of time objective does the client have? And so the financial advisor will try to put the puzzle together based on the client's information and based off of what the advisor feels are the necessary components or the necessary pieces of the puzzle to to achieve the client's goals.
Okay. I always thought that with a mutual fund, you were just kind of putting your money down and buying a piece of this pie that was already there. That would be incorrect?
You are. So a portfolio would not be just one mutual fund. It would probably be several.
So that would be the portfolio.
Yes.
So the mutual fund itself, though, is that, what is that fund? I mean, what are we looking at that particular fund? Is that, that's just a group of, that's just a group of stocks that somebody has put together?
Correct.
Okay. And so when you're buying a mutual fund, you might be buying, you might be buying pieces of several mutual funds through an advisor or broker, correct?
Right.
Okay. But the fund itself is just, you're buying a chunk of that fund, this collection, this pool of stocks.
Yeah, it allows you diversification into maybe hundreds or thousands of stocks with a very small proportion of your portfolio.
Okay. So what I have heard then is, what's a hedge fund then? How does that work?
Hedge funds are not always open to individual investors. And a hedge fund used to be for customers who wanted to protect themselves in all circumstances, so thus hedging. Hedging would be taking a defensive position for every offensive position that is inside of the fund. But more recently, hedge funds have been more constructed just to see who can make the most money. Who can make the most money in a blast-off fashion?
Blast-off fashion, what do you mean? I'm sorry.
If the S&P 500 is 20%, can the hedge fund achieve 50% returns?
I see.
You know, it's supposed to be, the S&P 500 is kind of used as a benchmark. So a hedge fund, to justify the extra fees that it imposes on an investor or a customer, they have to show some really sexy performance. Like, you know, you have to justify spending the extra money to getting into something like that. You have to justify buying the Lamborghini.
Gotcha. So, and are the cost to get into that higher in a hedge fund than it would be a mutual fund?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. So you got to spend real money.
Yeah. And there's sometimes I believe it's called 2 and 20, that you're paying a 2% asset charge, and 20% of the performance you're getting charged on that as well.
Wow.
So. The hedge fund manager who can achieve high returns consistently over and over again is really well compensated.
And we all love well compensated, don't we?
Right.
So we talked about mutual funds and we've talked about hedge funds a little bit. Are there other funds that I'm missing?
Yeah. Close sister of mutual funds is called closed-end funds. And they're formed the same way as mutual funds are, but they have a very static amount of shares outstanding. If you would buy a American Funds mutual fund or a Franklin Templeton mutual fund, what they would do as demand increases in their fund, they would issue more shares. Or as there's selling pressure in their fund, they would liquidate shares outstanding to maintain the same portfolio as what they have. Closed-end funds start off with a set number of shares. So a closed-end fund can trade at a premium to net asset value or a discount to net asset value. For instance, if selling pressure comes in to the closed-end fund, they're not going to liquidate any positions, but the share price can go down to a substantial discount, sometimes 20% discount to what the value of the portfolio is, because it's not as liquid and it doesn't have that shock absorber type of response. Did that answer your question?
Yes. Yes. Are there other funds?
So now, let me go back.
Okay, go back. I'm sorry.
So most mutual funds trade end of day. Closed-end funds trade all day long. And most recently, there is exchange-traded funds, or ETFs. The exchange-traded funds trade all day long. They trade like a stock. They're very similar to a mutual fund. The main thing is they tend to be cheaper than a mutual fund, and they trade all day long. So if it's a bad day, you can get out early in the day rather than have to ride it all day long. Even if you put a sell order in for a mutual fund at the beginning of the day, it's not executed until the end of the day.
Okay. So as we take a look at that, those are those funds, and the price points vary from time to time, right? So depending on the kind of fund that you get into.
Yes.
Right. So and this is something that would be available through a broker, so a broker could explain this stuff to you or to me.
Sure.
Okay. That's kind of the job of the broker, I believe, right?
To educate the customer on what's available and to show examples, because a picture's worth 1,000 words.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, I think that's all we've got the time for today. John, thank you so much. This was a fun thing.
Very good, Roger. Good Thanks. Talking with you.
You too. I'm Roger Humphrey, and on behalf of myself and John Lemmerman, we thank you so much for listening, and we hope you find the information really valuable. If so, please stop by Finance for Beginners for another episode. Hey, if you've got any questions, please leave them in the comments down below. I promise we will read them. The content of this podcast is for informational and educational purposes only and does not constitute financial, investment, or legal advice. The opinions expressed by the host and guests are their own and may not reflect the views of their respective organizations or employers. While we strive to provide accurate and up-to-date information, financial markets are subject to fluctuations, and the information provided may become outdated or change over time. Always do your own research and consult with a qualified financial advisor before making any investment decisions or taking any financial actions. We may discuss products, services, or strategies, but our recommendations are not endorsements. Any potential conflicts of interest will be disclosed as applicable. We do not receive compensation for promoting any specific financial products or services. By listening to this podcast, you agree that the hosts, guests, and producers are not liable for any losses or damages resulting from your reliance on the information provided.